Lord, aren't you just so excited that you finally make it to the Facebook section of things? So congrats to make it all the way here. And the reason I want to start talking about Facebook first is because I do think that it's very important for a media buyer to master both platforms, because ultimately Facebook has been acting like my playground to rapidly test creatives, because in Facebook I can get data relatively quicker compared to Google. So what I did with Facebook is that I just treat it as a playground for me to rapid test creatives, and then I'll make sure to get all of this insight and adapt it into the YouTube friendly things so that I could scale with YouTube. Google is actually another platform for me to sustain my performance. That is why you have to understand what I do with Facebook first before we move into Google, because it is somewhat related. One of the most frequently asked questions to me is, Shin, how do you scale? How do you scale the campaign from zero to whatever millions that you've done? Obviously, the answer is that there's so many ways that we've done, there's so many things that we've tried, but here are the few things that I personally think is worth mentioning, even though it could seem small at the beginning. The first thing is campaign structure. I have a little games to play with you guys. So I have two options right here. Do you want to start your campaigns with one ad in one ad set, or do you want to start your thing with multiple ads in one ad set? Now, pause this video and think about it. Another question that I forgot for you is that, do you want to have one product or one funnel in an ad account, or do you want to consolidate every offer and every funnel in one ad account? Think about it. I know you already have some sort of structure in place. The answer for both of those questions is consolidate. Again, this is speaking from experience. There's no right or wrong way to approach the campaign structure per se, but this is just like based on what I've done. So if I were to go back to like these, basically all I care about is scalability and sustainability. I did get some success with trying one ad and one ad set sort of structure, but the thing is that if, let's say, this ad set went downhill, you know, like nothing lasts forever, right? There's nothing much I can do about it aside from introducing new ad to revive that ad set. After a few like trial and error, I feel like the most sustainable way is actually having multiple ad in an ad set to begin with. Because imagine if you start your campaigns with one ad and one ad set, right? And when the performance start declining, and the only way that I'm telling you right now is to introducing new ads so that it can revive the performance of the ad set. But when you are putting new ad into this existing asset that you have, it put everything back into learning phase again. Again, no right or wrong thing to do here. It's just that from my experience, there is better win when you started things with multiple ads first. Typically, there's only one ad or like two ads that would actually get most of the spending, but it will not sustain forever. So ultimately, you will still have to pause those ads, but because the rest of those ads already have some sort of learning in the existing ad set, when you pause those top spending ads with the in the multiple ad set campaigns, it doesn't affect the learnings that much. Versus if, let's say, right now you have a one ad, one ad set campaign, things are declining in performance. But when you are putting new ad into an existing ad set, what it does to the ad set is that it put this whole thing back into a learning phase. It might work, it might not work. In my opinion, that's not my favorite way of doing things, because it makes things become a new asset altogether. That's not my proven way of seeing how things were sustained. When it comes to this structure, again, I tried both, and for me, the more sustainable way is you start your ad set with multiple ads first, and then you can still optimizing at the ad level depending on performance, and then you kind of just pausing and reintroducing things. The only thing we are trying to avoid here is that affecting the learnings of the existing ad set who has previously fit you good enough performance. The worst is you want to keep on like having new ad set and like constantly putting things in back into learning phase again. Second thing is, it's also something that I've tried before that we've spent millions on it just to experiment on this structure. From a legacy or from a structure perspective, Mindvalley has always structured different product and funnel into different ad account. And the purpose of that is just for easy reporting. But when it comes to VSL, which is a very heavily tested department, my experience told me that it's better, again, to consolidate every offer in an account. So there's a multiple reason to it, right? The first reason that I'm going to address is that we have reached to a place where things is working, but it stopped working. And I was just trying to understand, like, why it stopped working. And that is exactly where I mentioned before, that I went down to the path to analyzing every freaking possible breakdown of the metrics that I could have. At the end of the day, after I have like strategic meeting with my rep, it could potentially due to these things called the audience overlap. So what it does is that because in the VSL department, we are mostly going after broad targeting. When the broad targeting are spread across different ad account, most likely what is happened is that really high percentage of audience overlapping across multiple account. That's the reason why my campaigns is actually not reaching newer audiences, and that's why my performance is declining. This could be easily avoided if we could have just start things with just one ad account, right? So that the overlapping would be significantly lesser compared when you have things spread across like different ad account. Then you might ask, what is the best practice when it comes to optimization? I have basically consolidated my experience is three simple points that I'm just going to share about with you right now. The first thing is that I was being very, very strict with my media buying team that you need to understand when to scale, when to launch new campaigns, and when to not launch new campaigns. All of those things started with identifying your consumer purchase behavior first. So what I did is that I looked into the past 3 to 6 month data to understand during weekend, we have increase with the revenue with the same amount of ad spend. When I say weekend, it's typically, you know, Friday to Sunday. When it's approaching Monday, typically there is a dip in revenue for about like 20-30%. Things will slowly pick it up Wednesday onwards. So after I have identified this purchase behavior patterns that Mindvalley has, obviously these things would be varied according to different industry and different approach. Because with Mindvalley, it's one thing about people might technically have more time to spend on personal development stuff on the weekend, but there's also another historical sort of thing is that we typically have our cohort started with Monday. People would more likely want to start purchasing the course when it's approaching the course starting date. And that is the reason why during weekend, we typically see a higher conversion rate. You need to also identify the same purchase behavior trend first according different day. A practical step that I implemented from those data is that I've told my team every Monday, you are supposed to scale things down because you already know that people is not gonna buy more even if you put in more money. So you just wanted to like kill things that's not working, maintain the performance at a healthy ROAS. When you are approaching in Wednesday is where you should start to launch new thing because that's where the revenue will start pick up, right? Friday is, I have a sync, like a cadence with my media buyer because I wanted to make sure that we are scaling on things that are supposed to scale to capitalize the win that we're going to have on weekend that we already know. You need to identify when is your lowest revenue day, when is your highest revenue day. If it's the same, I would encourage you to do the same thing as well. Basically, no launching new campaign on Monday to Wednesday. Only start launching new campaign on Wednesday onwards, and then make sure your best performing campaign, you scale it up on a Friday to capitalize the revenue that you're going to get on the weekend. My second point is, aside from when to launch thing, when not to launch thing, what about the budget set of things? If you are a media buyer for long enough, you would have known that the recommended budget in Facebook is actually 20%. Meaning to say that if you increase your budget more than 20%, you would basically put things into learning phase. It could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing. Let me just put you into context. When your budget it's at a relatively low stage. What I meant by low, in my experience, is roughly about like $500 per day, all the way to $2,000 per day is considered like a low budget for me. So when you're in this lower range, it depending on your ROAS. If your ROAS is way above the benchmark by like 60 to like 100% already, I do think that you can't increase your budget more than 20% because you want to capitalize on your win that you have with the campaigns. And because it's still considered as a low daily budget, so you can afford to take that risk. It's a calculated risk at this point of time. But when you actually have a campaign that is actually already spending, like, say, 5K per day, I think our highest spending campaign per day is up to like 8 or 10K. That is where you want to make sure this kind of campaign could sustain as long as possible. Because when we're spending 8K per day, we are getting like at least 20 to 30K per day back. So you don't want to screw this up. You want to make sure this set of campaign consistently fit you more revenue in the long run. When it's here, I wanted to play the Facebook rule as well as I can. I will only increase my budget by 20% every time that I should be, because all I care about at this point of time is to maintain and sustain the performance of this campaign, not so much about scaling anymore. To recap, if let's say your campaign is at a lower budget range according to your company benchmark, I do think it's okay to scale more than 20% because you want to capitalize on the win. But again, there is a stop point of this 20% because when you scale things up too much, it tends to kill the sustainability of that campaign. So that's one thing you want to avoid. On the other spectrum is if, let's say, you already have something that's up and running that is giving you consistent, and the fact that you can actually scale things up into such a high daily ad spend, your only goal is to make sure this thing sustained. So with this, you then want to play with the Facebook rule, which is not increasing anything more than the 20% budget rule. The last rule that I have here, sustain will always be bigger and way more important than testing new things. This is where you can see it ties back to some of the fundamental rules that I've explained in my previous video, because I have worked with the spectrum of like very experienced media buyer and also inexperienced media buyer. And a lot of the approach that I've seen from both of these people is that when a campaign is already up and running and when things just don't work, they would just like either decrease the daily budget and eventually kill it, or they would just start a new thing altogether. The point I'm trying to make here is that you already have an asset, a place where it has historical data and learning that's stored in that particular ad set. So chances of you making a profitable revenue with a proven ad set would be way higher compared for you to try completely new things per se. I always told my media buyer that you need to look into what is your highest spending campaigns and how could you sustain the performance. But 8 out of 10 times in my experience, a lot of people would just go through the revenue sheet and just try to spot a campaign that is actually not making money and just gonna kill it. If you have more money to spend, it's better for you to leverage something that already have some historical data that it proved that this worked versus you just try a completely new thing. We're talking about broad targeting, right? Because broad targeting is the only way for us to scale. And I've sort of run some analysis before. The performance for broad and lookalike is pretty much on par. So I would rather focus my effort on broad targeting because it requires less maintenance per se. How Facebook now fit your ad to a particular audience is based on your ad. So when that asset already has some sort of learning, you want to make sure to leverage on those learnings and make sure that consistently fit you more revenue instead of like having a new ad set to try new things again. Back to the point about campaign structures and what kind of targeting you could go after. I know that this is maybe not something new anymore. You're like constantly looking up for top media buying and what they have been preaching. Basically, broad definitely works, but broad only works when your creative is freaking good. And with that, you have to obviously follow a lot of the rules that Peter has shared in his sessions. That way you can nail broad. But look alike for me is just another way to leverage on a more quality audience. I'm very lucky to have Peter because with him, I have a proven VSL already. So for me to go after look alike is just leveraging on something I knew is gonna work for sure. But after a year of spending like six, seven figures per month, I have run this analysis before in a very detailed way, and I can very surely tell you that performance for broad and look alike is very much on par. And the truth is, because look alike, you kind of still need some strategy and thinking in place, right? You need to think like, if this lookalike works, what is the next lookalike that will work? Like, should I go after a different percentile, or should I go after what other lookalike that I could potentially leverage on? Versus broad is very just straightforward, right? It's just like broad, and you could later segment on each group and whatsoever, but it doesn't take up that much of your mental space. The most frequently asked question is, how could you sustain the performance? Because we all know how to skill, and I hope by here now you understand a point of two on how to scale the performance. But it's another thing about sustaining the performance. It's all about just 100% about creative optimizations. But with this topic, I feel like it actually would lead on to like another three video or so, just to understand like what is the process about creative optimizations, what do you need to do to optimize the creative to sustain the performance. So I'm not gonna dive deep in that with this video, but you kind of just need to know that if, let's say, you already have a proven VSL, it could actually sustain you for at least a year or two, or actually more than that. All you want to change is just the first 3 seconds to the first 1 minute of the video. Basically, it's the hook or the lead of the VSL, because then it constantly feed the algorithm towards different potential audiences, and then you kind of convert and expand your target audience with that. Creative optimization is definitely the things that you need to master. You need to understand what are the metrics to look into. You need to have a smooth operation and communication between the media buying team and the creative team so that like, you guys can constantly churn out on things that's working and feeding the revenue. But yes, that is my answer on how could you sustain the performance in a longer period of time. Last part of the Facebook session is to share with you what are some latest innovation that we've tried with Mindvalley that is actually some of the lowest hanging fruit that could sustain the performance. The first thing that I'm going to introduce is actually these things called ASC campaigns. It stands for Advantage Shopping Campaigns. What this does is Facebook will consolidate all the top performing campaigns that you have. In this setup, everything is going to be way, way more consolidated because you are just basically telling Facebook that the 10th targeting that was performing for me, and that's where you start to put all of these 10 things in these campaigns. Also, all of the top performing ad in this campaign. In another way, this is actually a tactics to leverage on Facebook machine learning. And with this way, because this campaign is actually designed for performance marketer, it's actually designed for you to have a higher conversion, but with lower maintenance. With this, we actually did see some really, really amazing results. This is proven to be work. The only thing I wanted to make sure all of you know here is that you understand how to optimize things, because I do think that could be different according to different industry and different ad account. At a top level, these ASC campaigns definitely does work, and it's something I would encourage you to try as well. The next thing is that, again, I'm actually not sure if I should actually share these things because I low-key don't know if this is something that is just Mindvalley has it. But basically, the concept of a bid multiplier is that Facebook actually help us to put different bid according to different customer segment that they believe is actually working for us based on data. So this is not the typical bid multiplier things I'm trying to say over here, because the traditional bid multiplier, like what I've shown in the screen, saying that this asset most likely is not so quality, I'm gonna put a lower bid, right? And then asset two, I'm gonna put a higher bid because I believe as a company, I do think that it's a more value customer according to whatever data, right? So I put a higher bid. So it's all based on like the data point is not directly retrieved from the dashboard per se. It's actually retrieved from your company revenue dashboard. But what this does is that with this new bid multiplier that the Facebook is helping us to achieve, put different bid according to different segment that I have. If let's say Facebook believe that people at a 25 to 34 age range going to give me more conversion, even though it's going to be more expensive, automatically Facebook would actually going to bid a higher bid towards this segment because they believe that ultimately this segment is going to fit me more conversion. So the only goal that we're trying to achieve here is that I don't want to spend more money, they would potentially convert instead of like just spreading my money across like different age group or like different segments. This is slightly complicated when it comes to implementation, but I do think it's worth the sharing. And even with this, we do see a conversion lift across all campaigns as well. So if that's possible, I think there's some way for you to practice. There's definitely room for you to discuss with your Facebook rep in order to make these things happen. But again, the last time we tried this in Mindvalley, this definitely does work, and it's something that we're still constantly working towards it to make sure that we definitely nail how we bid towards this so-called value converters. All right, so that is the end of sharing from the Facebook side of things. I do hope that you get some value out of it. If there are certain things that I do not explain it clearly, feel free to reach out to me personally in the mastermind or like in every possible way. I would love to answer all of your questions as much as possible. And again, I hope you get value out of the sessions. Happy scaling.